From Deep Inside the Death Star, I'm Andy Richards.
And I'm Bill Messmer.
And I'm Andy Lures.
And welcome to Defrag Tools, the show about Windows internals and Microsoft internals. We've got Bill back from a couple of episodes ago, like 30 episodes ago.
Yeah, it's been a while. It's about a year.
And he's a newbie.
Mm-hmm.
So welcome to the stage. Tell us a bit about yourself, and maybe you go first, Andy.
Yeah, so I'm Andy Lures. I'm a program manager on debugging tools for Windows. So I'm the one behind, you know, kernel debugging, WinDebug. I just started a new blog that we'll talk about a little bit for our team.
Cool. What about you, Bill?
I am one of the engineers on the debugger team. I've been working on extensibility models for the debugger for the past year or two.
So mainly the usability
of the debugger. Yeah, we'll talk a little bit today about kind of the work that we've done over the last year to extend what we talked about last time when I was on Defrag Tools.
Cool. So as always, we keep on coming back to the debugger because that's really kind of bread and butter for this series. a couple of weeks ago we did a 101, very simple. Use EXR and ECXR and commands like that to work out basic debugging. So obviously these are the tools that, these guys are making those tools. So maybe we should just go over what tools there are. We do tend to just focus on WinDBG. We don't really talk about much else, but you do much more than just WinDBG. So maybe just talk about the breadth of the tools we have.
Yeah. So the tools that our team owns kind of specifically, we own WinDebug, we own CDB, we own NTSD, all kind of the same debugger core engine under all of those tools.
So CDB and NTSD are very close to each other. They're both command line.
Yep.
And I always forget which one's which. So one of them makes a console window, a new one, and one of them reuses the current console window.
Yeah.
Right? But that's the only difference between those two. So there's the debuggers. Yeah, sorry.
The kernel transports, so KDNet, KDUSB, KDCOM, KD1394, which we can talk about in a little bit. So all of those communications for kernel debugging, we own all of those.
So that's where you can use a separate machine and break into another machine at the full kernel level. All the CPUs suspend. You can look at the whole machine and then continue on.
Yeah.
And so we support networking, FireWire, serial from good old days.
Yep.
And
USB.
And USB is what I'm missing.
So there's USB 2 and USB 3 are slightly different, but pretty much the same.
Cool. So what else is in the kit? So there's a whole lot of symbol stuff as well.
Yeah,
so
there's a lot of symbol stuff that we own and we maintain. Mostly they're kind of standalone tools to make sure, there's things like PDB copy that you can use to strip stuff from your symbols if you need to share it with someone. There's a lot
of... So that's like private to public symbol conversion.
Yeah, that type of stuff. And then there's a lot of similar tools about like dumps where you can check if a dump is valid without having to open it in the debugger and do a bunch of other stuff.
Yeah, and there's something to do with symbol store so that if you have all these PDBs from a compile, you can say, hey, lay it out in the directory tree that we expect things to be laid out in with all these nice GUIDs and hashes and stuff, and it does all that magic for you. And we've talked briefly about that at some point. So what's the focus these days? What's happening in the debugger world? What are you guys working on?
We're putting a lot into kind of the usability of it, as I'm sure that you have a whole show describing how to use some of it, so I imagine our usability isn't perfect.
It may not be intuitive.
So we're doing a lot of big efforts, which is what we're going to be talking about here with like the debugger object model and that type of stuff. And then meanwhile, we're doing a bunch of little things. Like, I don't know if you even know this one. We added a .excr command recently.
Oh.
Because the number of people that typo .ecxr is just, it's such an annoying thing to typo, so we added that.
So it's just the typo version of it has been added.
Yeah, so we've been doing a lot of the little usability things recently to just kind of make people a little bit happier while focusing on some bigger efforts that Bill can talk about a little bit.
Yeah, we've been, in addition to that, we've been, so the debugger object model that we talked a little bit about the last time I was on Defrag Tools, we've spent the last year or so extending that in a couple of kind of fundamental ways that we'll talk about and go through examples of today.
So because the old world from 5 years ago was very, a debugger extension runs, it's kind of responsible for just reading RAM the way it has to read RAM and doesn't really have any help from anybody really. Mm-hmm. And then it was a very textual output to the screen, very 1980s style of
and they weren't composable either, right? That was one of the big things. You'd write a debugger extension, you'd have a command that takes a bunch of text, it would spit a bunch of stuff to console, and that was the only way that you'd use it.
Yeah. So you might have you might spit out a list of processes, but then you might want to say, show me the threads within the process, and there's no way of chaining those concepts.
Right, stuff. You'd have to write an entirely different debugger extension, which duplicated some of the code in the first one. Yeah. It was kind of painful in that respect,
yeah,
and we've been working to change that over the course of the last couple of years.
So kind of explain what the object model is fundamentally. Is it like a tree of objects, really like objects, or is it more of an API concept?
So we've basically gone in and we've said that like everything that the debugger knows about is able to talk to follows a standard object model, right? Of like key value pairs and some metadata that goes along with that. And it can be accessed both through, you know, the display in the debugger, whether it's console or whether it's a window, but it can also be accessed via, right, programmatically, via scripting environments, via C++ code. So it enables you to build things that other people can then build on top of.
Yeah, so both consumption of the model and then also authoring additional objects in the model for other people to use.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I assume that this drives a lot of new UI coolness and it cleans things up. And so you've got, you know, I think, is the UI faster these days because of this type of stuff?
So yeah, we've moved there's a setting that we haven't actually put too much into, but like there's a setting to make the locals window use this object model. So if you have the locals window in Windowbug, it will actually, you know, it'll learn from your NatViz or, you know, whatever other extension you happen to have in there. And we're slowly looking at it.
Yeah. Actually, we should talk about what NatViz is. It's a Visual Studio concept that you brought in. Very powerful, so you might maybe explain what NetViz is. What's it stand for?
Native visualizations or native visualizers. This is something the Visual Studio guys added this back in about, I think, VS 2012, 2010, I don't remember exactly, but it's kind of an XML way to describe a type that tells the debugger how I should actually display that type to give you kind of semantic meaning on top of something. This is what, when the last time I was on Defrag Tools in, I think, August last year, we talked 138, 139, I think, were the episodes. That's kind of what we talked about. And you can basically say, you know, for things like STL containers, I've got a hash map. You can see A maps to B instead of seeing, you know, a red-black tree or whatever it is that's the underlying implementation of the container.
Gets rid of all that noise and just makes it
friendly. It makes it more what you expect to see rather than the internal guts of the actual implementation of something.
So obviously a lot of this usability comes back from feedback. So what is the feedback loop? And maybe talk about the blog and the email address that people can use.
Yeah, so we've got a few feedback loops we've done in the past. Kind of like the best way to get feedback to us in the past was this windybgfb@microsoft.com email. Anyone can shoot that an email, and it's a great way to get us feedback. We read those emails. But the only way to find that was it's on like the symbols problem page. So it says, if you have problems with symbols, email this. And we get, every once in a while, we get problems with symbol server. We've had a few issues recently with it, but we got those all ironed out. So we've actually started to expand more. So we've got this blog, which is, you know, email is a one-way feedback, and we can only talk to the people that email us.
And I should point out, if you email Defrag Tools, these guys get notified.
Yeah, we also get it.
So you get pinged. So a lot of the debugging questions, are, you know, these guys can field straight away. So yeah, but the blog's new.
So
started a while ago, August.
Yeah, so we started in August. We're aiming to get about one post a month. It's not going to be like Raymond Chen, where he posts every day about some crazy debugging issues. Yeah. It's kind of more on the note of like something like Defrag Tools, where we can say, you know, here's a walkthrough of how to do this. But for kind of the simpler things, like we come in here when we have something big to talk about.
Yeah.
And it's also kind of a release notes thing where we have a lot of these minor changes, like I mentioned the .excr, and another one would be like DTX, which we can talk to once we get into the data model stuff. And we're hopefully going to just start, I've got a post I'm writing right now that accompanies some SDK releases, and hopefully it starts kind of a two-way conversation rather than just the one way.
And obviously, can people email you and say, hey, I'd love to hear about this topic. Can you write?
Yeah. So if there's any interest in certain blog posts, we're open to getting that in email. Another one is we have the Windows Feedback Hub. If there's a category in there that's developer tools or developer platform. And there's one there that's debugging tools for Windows. And if you file that, we look at that. We look at all the feedback that comes in there.
That's cool. Talking about documentation, I have just been working on the postmortem debugging.
Oh, yeah.
Web page, which was a little outdated. It was probably
a few of those.
5 or 10 years a bit late.
Yeah.
So check that out. I just spent way too many hours on that. So please someone read it. But how to set up your AU debugger. In the end, procdump -i in my world does it mostly. and proc dump minus I, WinDBG minus I, and your world does it as well. And that's where the minus I comes from. And so
but which merged, I?
Uppercase yeah. I for you guys. proc dump is case insensitive because we haven't run out of switches yet. But yeah, so what should we, so obviously before we jump off the blog, what's this 1394 workaround? That sounds kind of interesting.
Yeah, so as we mentioned earlier, we have a lot of different transports, cables, basically, that you can kernel debug over. And they take some time to maintain if something changes in the kernel or in the code. And we basically looked at it and said, you know, 1394, FireWire is kind of going away, and for everything we have included in Windows, there's, you know, the binary takes up space, it takes up a lot of things. So we looked at it and we said, you know, there's not a whole lot of uses where, there's no uses where 1394 works better than network debugging.
And I think speed-wise, is FireWire 400 megabit? And so if you, it's kind of equivalent to network, even at 100 megabit or a gigabit. So, it's kind of in the same realm of speed, right?
So in the past, KDNet actually was a little bit slower, but we made some fixes across basically all of Windows 10 to speed that up, and now it's faster.
Yeah. But at the speed we're talking about, it's snappy, and you don't notice that there's a delay.
Yeah.
But the only time you may notice it is if you're taking a 16 gigabyte dump file of a big server or something, but which is rare.
Yeah.
It's usually the invasive debugging that you're doing anyway.
Yep.
And yeah, KDNet has always been a fantastic performance. Mm-hmm. And it's so easy to set up too.
Yeah.
As long as if you have to find a special cable, you just go, you know, DBG, BCD edit.
Yeah.
Point at an IP address and away you go, and make sure you set your cryptographic key.
Yep.
So you don't get
that security in there.
Get security in there, yeah.
So what's
the story now about 1394?
So we didn't want to get rid of it entirely because, like, KDNet is better, but there are people who out there who have, you know, three FireWire cards on their desk, and whenever they say, oh, I need to kernel debug this, they drop a FireWire in their new machine, and they go and they're kernel debugging with it. So we're just moving it to the kits. So you just have to copy the driver over. I've given the description here. Right now it's more of a workaround because we haven't actually added it to the SDK preview. We're in the process of doing that now. It should be out soon. But you can just copy from an older version of Windows and everything works fine.
Yeah,
so it's still available. It's just not, you know, out of the box.
So it's actually kind of like adding a driver to the box.
Yep. Yeah, yep. Just like
an xcopy install of a driver, really.
Yep.
Cool. So this is just take a step back and maybe talk about we're going to have another episode on the new Java support, or JavaScript support, I should say. So talk about maybe this whole object model and how JavaScript plays into that, and how NetVis and everything else plays into that.
Right. So if you haven't gone back and watched the episodes that we did last year, it's probably a good starting point to at least understand what we're talking about here in some of the context, because this plays very much on what we did and what we talked about last year. So
you can click pause and we'll wait.
Yeah. Welcome back.
So we added back a year ago in Windows 10, right, in the debugger that shipped in those kits, we added a new command dx and a bunch of ways that you could extend data. That's kind of like DT, right? It shows you native type information, but it gives you, you know, you can click through and get a bunch of DML links on top of it.
Yeah.
And then we added a set of mechanisms that you could kind of extend, right? You could add visualizers to it, as well as there's kind of a namespace for the debugger that you could get to, you know, the sessions, the processes, the threads, the stacks, and objects like that. Mm-hmm. So you could, with NatViz, right, you could go and extend that object model and create visualizations and things like that. But NatViz is kind of, it's to some degree limiting, right? It's a declarative thing. It's got some ways that you can describe, you know, some basic data types. And it's absolutely fantastic for, I've got one data type and I want to visualize that.
I write class foo. I want foo to be shown this way with this cool syntax, commas, and semicolons and stuff. But that's it.
But that's kind of where that line falls. And if you're doing something that requires me to like aggregate data from multiple places in the kernel or something like that, then it falls a little bit short. You can always go back to a C++ debugger extension. But what we've done now is we've gone in and said, okay, we're gonna build on that, right? And we're gonna provide you a way to do scripting in the debugger. And I'll talk about what I mean by that, but a way to do scripting in the debugger that fits into this data model and is much, much, much easier to use than any of the existing, like there's a dot command kind of scripting-ish thing in the debugger that's been there for a long time, and it's much easier to use than that.
So does Descript. So Descript is debugger script, which is the current esoteric old
one of
scripting.
The three current esoteric old scriptings.
Oh, three. It's more than one. So that's like, you know, dot for each and dot else and all the dot if and all those other things.
Yeah, and there's bang for each, and there's a couple implementations that just are part of the debugger. So
I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
So does the old Descript, the dot blah stuff, does that work against the model?
Or is no, that it kind does of, not. That's its own thing. We didn't go and extend to any of that.
Yeah, so it's stuck in the legacy world.
Right. Cool. What we've done for the new world is we've allowed, basically, we've brought in JavaScript. We've brought in the JavaScript engine that powers Edge and IE in Edge mode into the debugger, and allowed you to script against the debugger object model, right, or the data model, whatever you want to call it, in JavaScript.
Cool.
Right, and so it opens you up to doing much more powerful things than you could do even in NatViz and write debugger extensions or little scriptlets that are much, much, much more succinct than you could have previously gotten in C++.
Awesome.
And also, they can write scripts to replace their old crazy Windebug scripts that they use the $$ syntax is and all that stuff.
Yeah, I like to think of those scripts, while that works to some degree, I like to think of those, they're kind of write only.
Yeah.
You write them, you go back to them a month later, and you can't read what you wrote because the syntax is so esoteric.
Yeah.
It's not just in time, it's code in time. It's like, that's only good that moment. Yeah, definitely.
Yep.
Cool. Well, let's wrap up this episode now. We'll have all the links on the post so you can look at the Facebook, look at the blog feed and send feedback and all that cool stuff. And next time we'll get into the guts of JavaScript debugger development.
So, sounds good.
Cool. Yep. All right, guys, as always, put your comments below. Email us at defragtools@Microsoft.com or WinDBGFB@Microsoft.com for these guys explicitly. And we will see you next week.